It was time to move the Blue Max. I was out front waiting for himself. He was probably combing his hair in the bathroom mirror, and that would take forever. I sat on the cement edge of the garden, careful not to lean against the sweet alyssum on the border. I wanted to go back to bed. That's where I was, drifting off, when Mom shook me and told me he wanted me to help him. Because that's what you did at 1 in the morning. You got rid of the car. After Mom left me, I thought I could close my eyes for a minute before I absolutely had to get up. I didn't doze for long, though. A memory from a summer night not so long ago woke me up for good. Me pinned against the basement door, fists slamming into me, my mother and uncle pulling his arms off. This would be the last time I helped him. In a few weeks, I would be gone. The Blue Max was parked in the driveway, the latest in a long line of junkers Dad had picked up at police department auctions. He'd nicknamed this one, a Chevy Impala, after the German military decoration given to fighter pilots during World War I. Of all the cars he'd brought home, the Blue Max was the most stylish, with blue bat wings that spread out over the trunk and red cat's-eye taillights tucked underneath. The hubcaps had spokes like a bicycle wheel, with the Chevrolet logo imprinted in the center. I wish I'd seen the car when it was new, in 1959, the way himself remembered it. Everything inside and outside was blue. The body and hardtop were a dusty royal color, with snazzy chrome strips running down the sides. The interior matched down to the steering wheel, dashboard, and glove compartment. The leather seats, though, were a deep cobalt. When we went somewhere as a family, the Blue Max was wide enough to fit everyone, with our long legs and big mouths. Nobody had to sit on anybody else's lap. We'd had the car about 6 months, and during that time, himself had driven it into the ground, eventually falling asleep and nearly setting it on fire with a lit cigarette. That was some morning, the second time firemen had come to his aid. After the contraption cooled off, we moved it from the other side of the street into our driveway, Dad pushing the car while I steered. I didn't know where we were taking the Blue Max tonight, but I doubted we'd be pushing it. He must have something else in mind. I'd worked till 11 at the theater, and my legs were cramping up. I got to my feet, stretching, and glanced up at the sky. One or maybe two stars, very faint, were riding on the purple surface. A street lamp across from our house buzzed. I could pick out the pungent scent of the marigolds, planted in a circle around the Japanese yew, my last garden. Then I heard him coming, finally, his deep mumble drifting through the screens in the front porch windows. I stifled a yawn. He came down the stoop, tripping over one of the broken steps, himself in the flesh. I stood there. Hands shoved in my pockets, waiting to see what was what. His dark pants were rumpled. The collar of his yellow polo shirt stuck up behind his neck, but his hair was freshly combed in the modified ducktail style he'd worn since high school.
"We keeping you up?"
He was fully awake, almost jaunty, ready for an adventure. The night was his favorite part of the day. After midnight, he could get into anything. No doubt he'd come up with this brilliant idea while spending several hours at the Dewdrop Inn.
"Let's knock this out. 45 minutes, tops."
He fished in his pocket for the car keys. I leaned against the car and looked at the house. The second floor was covered in green shingles. The first floor was done in white stucco. We'd been living here for over 10 years, and every year the place looked worse. There weren't enough bedrooms for all of us kids. There was only one full bathroom, and on rainy days we had to put pots in the second floor hallway to collect the water dripping through the holes in the roof. The front door was still open. Mom was standing in the dark vestibule, leaning against the door jamb. A Newport filter dangled from her left hand.
"I don't see why you don't call a tow truck, Pat," she said.
Queenie, our tricolor collie, poked her nose into the scene.